The ancient yew tree outside Conor O'Malley's window transforms at exactly 12:07 a.m., becoming a towering monster of twisted branches and needle-like leaves. But 13-year-old Conor isn't frightened. He's disappointed. This walking nightmare isn't the monster he truly fears. It's not the creature from his recurring dream that fills him with genuine dread, the one where hands slip from his grasp amid howling darkness. The yew tree monster, infuriated by this lack of terror, seizes Conor and promises he will indeed know fear before the end. When morning arrives, only scattered yew leaves and the scent of ancient wood suggest it wasn't merely a dream. This midnight visitor arrives at precisely the moment Conor needs guidance most, when his mother's cancer treatments are failing and the adults in his life dance around hard truths with suffocating protection. The monster, drawing on centuries of folklore where yew trees symbolize both death and healing, creates a magical space where painful truths can finally emerge from shadows. Conor's world is falling apart. His mother, once vibrant and spontaneous, is now gaunt from cancer treatments. At 13, he manages the household while she maintains a brave facade. His grandmother's impending visit brings only dread. Her rigid ways clash with his home's warmth. School has become an exercise in isolation. Since Lily revealed his mother's illness, Conor has become invisible. Teachers offer sad looks without substance, while former friends avoid him. Only Harry, the school bully, acknowledges him through calculated torment that has become almost ritualistic. These violent encounters anchor him to reality when everyone treats him like a ghost. His distant father offers little comfort from America with his new family. Through it all, Conor maintains desperate denial. The monster's arrival punctures this carefully maintained illusion, promising no easy comfort, only stories that will lead him to his own devastating truth. The monster's stories challenge Conor's understanding of the world. Far from simple moral fables, they're complex and ambiguous, much like life itself. In the first tale, a prince blames his stepmother for murdering his beloved. The monster reveals it saved the queen because the prince himself was the murderer who killed to incite rebellion. Yet despite this deception, he became a beloved king who ruled happily for years. When Conor protests this moral ambiguity, the monster laughs. "You think I have come walking out of time and earth itself to teach you a lesson in niceness?" The second tale concerns a bitter apothecary denied access to a healing yew tree by a self-righteous parson. When the parson's daughters fell ill and he begged for help, the apothecary refused. The monster punished not the apothecary who refused to help dying children, but the parson who abandoned his principles when tested. These tales mirror Conor's situation, loving his mother while wishing for an end to her suffering, wanting truth while clinging to comforting lies. As his mother deteriorates, Conor sinks into isolation. At school, Harry the bully declares, "I no longer see you," treating Conor as non-existent. Teachers contribute by making allowances, not calling on him or expecting homework. This invisibility permeates his life. His grandmother interacts mechanically, his father misses his pain, and even his mother, lost in suffering and medication, can't truly see him anymore. The monster's third tale resonates with this theme, describing a man tired of being unseen who summoned a monster to make them see me. This story catalyzes Conor's violent attack on Harry, who had taunted him about a terrible secret. With the monster's voice joining his own, Conor beats Harry while repeating, "Never invisible again." Despite rules requiring immediate exclusion, the headmistress refuses to punish him due to special circumstances, devastating Conor, who desperately wanted consequences. Only Lily's note saying, "I see you," finally offers him genuine connection. Conor learns his mugger's treatment comes from yew trees, the same species visiting him as a monster. This coincidence sparks hope that the monster might heal his mother with medicine from its own substance. The yew embodies perfect duality. Its toxic berries and needles contain compounds that serve as valuable chemotherapy drugs. This paradox mirrors cancer treatment itself, where poison is used to heal. When questioned, the monster answers cryptically, "If your mother can be healed, then the yew tree will do it." As her condition worsens despite treatment, Connor faces the possibility she cannot be saved. His mother reflects, "Isn't it amazing how the green things of this world can be the most destructive and the most healing?" Later, when Connor rages at the monster for failing to save her, it reveals, "I did not come to heal her. I came to heal you." The yew, as both poison and medicine, becomes the perfect vehicle for delivering bitter truth that hurts yet ultimately heals. At the heart of Connor's suffering lies a recurring nightmare, more terrifying than the yew tree monster. In this dream, he stands at a cliff edge where his mother is being pulled over by a real monster of cloud, ash, and dark flames. Despite his desperate efforts to hold her hands, she grows too heavy until he can't maintain his grip, the moment that wakes him screaming. The monster forces Connor to confront his hidden truth. "I can't stand it anymore. I just want it to be over." This confession, that part of him wishes for his mother's suffering to end, even if it means losing her, feels like an unforgivable betrayal. The monster offers clarity. "You were merely wishing for the end of pain, your own pain. It is the most human wish of all." Humans can hold contradictory feelings simultaneously, desperately wanting his mother saved while wanting her suffering to end. Your mind will believe comforting lies while also knowing the painful truth that make those lies necessary, the monster explains, and your mind will punish you for believing both. In the novel's climax, Connor sits by his mother's hospital bed with the monster's hands on his shoulders. "All you have to do is tell the truth," it says. The clock shows 11:46 p.m., 21 minutes before the monster's usual appearance time. Taking his mother's hand as she briefly awakens, Connor grasps two simultaneous truths. His mother will die, but he will survive. This realization was why the monster came, summoned by his need. "I don't want you to go," Connor finally admits through tears. "I know, my love," his mother answers. The monster whispers that the moment will come, but not this moment, not just yet. By acknowledging both his desire for his mother to live and his acceptance of her death, Connor finds peace. The monster has taught him he can hold contradictory feelings without being destroyed. The novel's message is both heartbreaking and hopeful. By holding tightly to his mother, Connor can finally let her go, a paradox representing healthy grief that integrates loss rather than moving on.